Well, good evening, class. We're so glad you're with us. I want you to go with us to the book of Joshua tonight. I love the first chapter. And the reason I love it is this, okay? Are you ready? The first chapter of Joshua, there's a major paradigm shift coming for leadership and for ministry, okay? Moses, okay, now Joshua. Wilderness, now Canaan. You know, not having enough to going into more than enough. Major vast difference of what the last 40 years have looked like. Major difference of what is about to take place. And there's incredible things I think the Lord wants us to hear about tonight from Joshua chapter number 1, okay? And so get ready to take some notes. There's going to be, we're not going to get to all of them, but Kent's already heard some of this. There's going to be 5 major things that you need to hear about, okay? And we may get 2 of those tonight. But I want to bring us up to speed, okay? We're in Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Deuteros, Nomos. We just come out of Deuteronomy, okay? Deuteros, Nomos, the second law. It's been done all over again. Stories have been retold. They're still in the wilderness. They're still, you know, griping and complaining and murmuring, okay? And they're coming to the end. They're coming to the end of this deal. Let me tell you how serious this was. God said, Moses, this is what's going to happen. There's not a one of these people are going into Canaan. That's how serious this is. Yeah. Not a one of these people are going to go into Canaan. 20 years old and up, they're going to get to go. Remember, we talked about this, the number 20, and I told what 2020 was, which 2020 this year was 40. And I got to talk about what the number 40 being tested and a year is 40 means represents tribulation, trials. But at the end of the 40, there's always powerful blessing. So I shared that. And so Drew come to me after class that night. I said, man, I don't know. He said, I'm turning 40 this year. And I don't know really how to take your message. And so we're going to help Drew get through 40 this year, okay? We're here to help drag him through 40. No, it's going to be an exciting time of 40, okay? That don't seem like 24 years ago for me. It just really doesn't. Does 40 seem like, if you're 78 here tonight, does it seem like it was 38 years ago that you was 40 years old? Oh, you are 70. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's right. Does it look, I mean, it doesn't seem like that was 40 years ago, does it? I mean, if you were 40, it does. Okay. Doesn't matter. I'm trying to help Drew tonight, people. I'm trying to encourage him tonight.
I was just about to have a baby 24 years ago.
Well, here we go. Okay. So here's what's taking place. There's a major change in leadership has come. As we know, 40 years prior to this, God had spoke to Moses on the backside of a desert, called him in a burning bush to lead God's people out of Egypt's bondage. And he had been their leader for 40 years. He had been their pastor for 40 years. He had been the one that was carrying them to the promised land for 40 years. We're dovetailing and coming into end of this. And after 40 years, Moses will not go into the promised land. Not only was the people not able to go, Moses, the man of God, cannot go. Why? Somebody tell me. We mentioned this. He smote the rock. He should have been speaking. God said, speak to the rock. He disobeyed him and he smote the rock. I've used this in leadership training to pastors and to leaders. Be careful understanding. If it's to smite the rock, smite it. If it's to speak to the rock, speak to it, but never get them crossed up. If you are smiting it when you should be speaking to it, or if you're speaking to it when you should be smiting it. We have to understand as leaders, we got to know what God wants us to do at that very moment. And he smote it. It cost him the promised land. And not only him, but all those that murmured, all those that complained, I mean, God's going to just let them die out and they're not going to go in. So we're dovetailing in to Joshua chapter number 1. Moses is going to die. So before this all happens, he at least gets to see the promised land. God takes him up to where? Somebody help me here. Mount Nebo. Remember when he was in Israel? And they pointed out, so there's Mount Nebo over there, okay? He went and he took him up there and God buried him. I don't know if they remember any other scriptures or anybody else in the Bible that God buried. Now, there's a lot of times he resurrected them, but personally that God literally buried him, okay? The Bible says, I don't fully quite understand this, but you know what the Bible said? Satan came and brought a railing accusation and he begged for the body of Moses. Read your Bible. Why did he want the body of Moses? Why did he dispute with God, I mean wanting the body of Moses? He couldn't find him. He don't know where God buried him. And you know what? He is still buried today. Bone-wise, just bone and tabernacle. As we know, on Mount Transfiguration, 9th chapter of Matthew and others in Mark, Luke, and John, three of them came back, or God was there, Moses was there, and Elijah. We walked you through that. You know, Moses being the law, Elijah being the prophets, Christ being covenant and grace. All of them's up on top of this mountain time together. So we know Moses is alive. He's alive. Just like Enoch walked with God and was not, and God took him. One of the only other people in the Bible that did not die to leave this earth. Who was the other one? Somebody help me here real quick. Elijah. Now, whether or not that's the two witnesses in Revelation, I don't know. But there's going to be two witnesses, and a lot of people say that's going to be those two guys. It's going to come back and going to be slain and lay in the streets, and the world's going to view after them. We're dovetailing in, and there is an end of this wilderness experience. I don't know about some of y'all. I have been there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have been in the wilderness. I have been in some dark places in life. We're not going to get into that tonight, but I'm telling you, I was visiting with a pastor yesterday. We had a call, and we're recording, so there'll be no names mentioned. But we were sitting the other night. Me and Miss Paula was up in her studio, and we was watching something on the History Channel. I didn't know what it was, and I had a phone call. Somebody I hadn't seen in years, pastor that I preached for, hadn't seen in years. I'd heard a couple of stories or things, and didn't know, and. And he called me, and I seen on my phone who it was. I says, oh, my goodness. And one thing led to another. And he said, this is the hardest thing for me to do. My wife would kill me if she knew I was doing this. I was in a snowstorm today. I am caught in North Kansas City. I need to go on to another certain area of the United States, and I am out of money. And we've not seen this person in years. We preached for him. And he said, it's a large amount of money. And I'm thinking, you know, thousands of dollars. And he's I really need $600. And of course, we were sitting there and Paula heard this and she was saying, no. And, you know, because, you know, we don't know. And then I discussed some stuff and she discussed some things with me. And so we realized we have an opportunity here. And so wound up, I had $300 stuck back, and Miss Paula gave, I hate to say it, Don and Sandy, but she gave her a $50 birthday money to this preacher. And then we got him food out of our pantry, and we gave him food to eat and put it in an envelope, and he just cried and cried and cried. And I called a pastor friend of mine that's wanting me to come, and I visited about this individual, and he began to share with me some stories, and I thought, oh my goodness. It is something to get in a wilderness and not get out. It is something to get in a bad place and can't find your way out. In a dark, dark, dark place, and you can't see light. You can't see victory. You can't see help. I'm telling you, you're wondering, are we ever going to get out of this wilderness? And that's exactly where a lot of people are that we're dealing with now every week in this ministry. If it's not through a phone call and we're bumping into someone, we're visiting with someone, and here we are speaking about it tonight. Moses is dying, and you know what? Thank God he didn't die in the wilderness.
Amen. Yeah.
Think about it.
He died on the
mountaintop.
Yeah.
You never thought about that, did you?
Really?
He did not die in the wilderness. God's not going to let him die without a bunch of murmuring complainers.
Amen.
God's going to take him to a mountaintop. He's going to show him the promised land. Oh, yes, and he's just going to let him see what it looks like. He said, I couldn't let you die without seeing it. And I mean, I could go into a lot of things tonight, but it was a tip of the iceberg of what old Moses was about to see. I mean, he was really about to see a promised land. He was really about to see an incredible place. So we had to say all that to say this. Now we're at that place in Joshua chapter number 1. And the Bible says, are you listening? Get ready. And after Joshua had to start this way. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, he had to start that way. He had to say, after the death of Moses, remember, God took the spirit of Moses. Oh, this is awesome. Y'all ready for this? I'm telling you, I have been putting this together and praying this through. Do you know that God was already getting Joshua ready for the promised land in the wilderness?
Yeah.
Y'all should have got excited about that, but you didn't get excited about that. Because see, when you're going through that wilderness, all you can see is that. And you don't see this over here. But if God will help you, he's going to start getting you ready in the wilderness to learn how to live in the promised land.
Yeah.
He's grooming you for it. See, he got to get something out of you. Yeah. Read what the reasons, I call it the why of the wilderness. It's in the Bible. There's 3 reasons. None of them was, I want to humble you. That's why you're going through this wilderness. That's what God said to the people. I need to humble you. There's some things I need to teach you. I need to show you. See, we don't want the wilderness. We want the promised land. We don't want going through the battle, but we sure want the victory. But we can't have a victory without it being a battle. So God was already grooming Joshua in the wilderness for the place that he was going. Oh, you know what? I'm so glad we were when we did this for this individual the other night. And I think when we was having lunch yesterday and we was sitting there at the table and we were talking about that and we were talking about giving and doing things for people and blessing. And it came when we were going to tip. And so the meal wasn't really that much. It was eaten in a very nice place. It really wasn't that much. And we had a gift card someone had given us, so we was using it. And I didn't want to, so I'm going to tip with cash. And so I gave a larger bill. And Paul said, wow, that's maybe too much tip. I said, no. I said, we ate here last week, and she knows who I am. Yeah. I'm going to eat there maybe next week or week after next. And tips, you know what tips means, don't you? Does anybody know what an acronym for tips means? Does anybody know what the word tips mean? To what?
To ensure proper service
before you ever get your meal. You should actually tip before you ever get your meal.
Yeah.
That ensures you, as you said, for a proper meal, for professional service. for prompt service. See, you learned something new tonight, didn't you? So as we were talking, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do that. And she's watched me, and what you've done all that. We was eating at the Bristol the other day, and it's her birthday, and she had got some things give to her. I bought her lunch that day for her birthday. And it come time to tip. We tipped there. So there was an older woman that had waited on us. And I pray about it. I carry cash with me at all times. If you don't do that, you can't bless anybody with your credit card number, folks. Think about it. Carry some cash. God may deal with you to bless somebody. And I was about to walk out, and the Holy Spirit whispered me, said, go bless this woman. And we'd already tipped him with a great tip. And I went and I just said, here, you did an incredible job. She's an older woman, probably in her 70s, Joy, and she's out waiting tables at the Bristol. I said, good for her. And I went and gave her a $20 bill. Man, she got me and hugged me, and she says, you didn't have to do that. I said, you don't understand. I don't have to do anything. I get to do it. I get to do it. It's a joy. When we understand the benefits of the promised land, you're not going to think about, I can't get ahead of myself. Let's deal with number one. Moses is dead. Everybody say he's dead. Look to somebody right beside you and say, you know what? Moses dead. He's dead. He is double dog dead. He gone. The devil don't know where he is. Nobody knows where he is, but God knows where he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm about to get excited now. So here it is. There are things in these. Let's go to the rest of this, Don, and read this. And it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, well, wait a minute. He just said it in verse number one. He got to say it again. Moses, my servant, he dead. There's a reason for this. And here it is. Now, everybody say now.
Now.
Now. Now. He was telling Joshua, you ready? There are five, and I can't know what I'm going to talk about now. There's five major dangers that every one of us are going to face as we get older. As we age gracefully, okay? Five major dangers. Number one, are you ready? The danger of looking back.
Yep. Yeah.
The danger of looking back. That's why he had to tell Joshua twice, he is dead. Mm. He is dead! Joshua, you have to understand, Joshua's been on the mountaintop with him. Joshua's been up to it with a place with Moses that he's seen the face of God, and nobody else could go up there. Joshua got to go with him. God put the spirit of Moses on Joshua and transferred it. I mean, Joshua was his assistant, and he is trying to tell him, and he tells him twice, he is dead. Don't look back. One of the major things, if we're not careful, that we will face each and every year as another birthday goes by, as another celebration goes by, if we're not careful, the older we get, and I turn 64 in March, the older we get, if we're not careful, we will begin to look back. Why? Well, because there's a whole lot more years behind you, possibly, than there are in front of you. Mm-hmm. Now, with me, it's not, because I'm shooting for 120, so I'll come pretty close. I mean, yeah, it's 128. You know, Brenda, that's 22 here tonight, she can say 44. You want 40 years, 44. I'm trying to help you here, Brenda, and encourage you a little bit, you know. Yeah. Today I was there at Sam's, and My fishmonger that I talk to and visit with, and I go buy the Gulf shrimp because I can eat shrimp with, you know, with what we're eating now, and I can eat my shrimp. I can blacken them. I do four of them, put them on my salad. It's incredible. There's nothing fried about it. It's an incredible meal, and I'll buy a pound of them, and I can do about four or five salads off of that because they're big old shrimp, and they're just out of the Gulf. I don't eat farm-raised, you know, stuff like that. It's out of the Gulf. And so he seen me, and he knew me, and so I don't know how it all came up, and so I said, I'm taking these to the lake with me. He said, oh, yeah, you told me, but what lake is that? So I began to tell him about the lake. He said, well, are you leaving? I'll put some ice in. Are you leaving? I said, no. I said, I'm here. I said, oh, he asked the right question. He opened the door for me. I said, no, I'm teaching a class tonight. Oh, what kind of class are you teaching? I said, well, matter of fact, I'm glad you asked that. I said, I've been studying in a book of the Bible, and it's talking about transition from the, I'll use this word, from the old to the new. He said, well, that sounds very interesting, the old from the new. I said, yeah, there'd been just a leader and he had to die for something new to happen, something new to take place. Oh, he said, well, that's very interesting. And so we began to talk and he said, I got to go. He said, let me tell you this story real quick. I said, now he's telling me the story. See, you got to preach this everywhere you go. You're not full of it, get full of it. Well, you're full of it, but you need to empty some of the stuff you're full of. Get you some more stuff. Yeah, you look to somebody right now, say, you're just full of it. We used to tell our little children that. They were full of fun, full of mischievousness and everything else. You know what? Be full of the Holy Ghost. I was praying today in my room back there when I had music going. I said, Lord, you said in your word that if I walk in the Spirit, I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost, Lord, wherever I go.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You know, it's the truth tonight. So he said, I'll tell you a story. He said, I had an aunt and her brother, When their mothers and dad passed away at a very early age, and they had an aunt, which had been a great aunt of mine, took them in, and an uncle, and raised them from little children. Well, the uncle that took them in actually retired when he was 60, and he sat down in his chair, and that was it. After retirement, he never moved. Day in and day out, he watched television. That's all he did. And he died a premature death. He never lived very much long after that. I said, this guy's telling me he's preaching where I'm going to preach. This is good. And he said, but that's not really the story. He said, the story is that the two children they were raising, which was my aunt, the girl, she said, when she retired at 67, she said, I am not about to do what my uncle that adopted me done when he retired at the age of 60. He sat down and he just gave up and died. He said, you know what, preacher? She's going all over the world. I said, hallelujah. Good for her. Amen. Guys, here's the deal. We got a promised land ahead of us. I don't care how old you are, how achy you are. I don't care if it's bursitis, devilitis, whatever, meningitis, whatever you got. Just shake it loose. Get on with your life. You got way too much ahead of you to quit now. Come on, don't keep looking back. Well, you know, I was talking to Cheryl yesterday at the blessings, and she got to talking to me about not going to church, and she's from Alabama, and I didn't know it. I found it out yesterday. I don't know how it all got started. I was looking for some things to put the lamps on when they did away with all of our stuff. When they staged our house, they just, you know, took the globes or whatever you call the shades off and the things that hold them, they done away with, and you got now they're just sitting on top of a light bulb because we lost all those things. And when I bump into them, they all fall and they go down. I said, man, I don't like this, so I'm going to look for some of that stuff. And so I was talking to the lamp woman. Well, I have to kind of get you feeling who she is. She's an Alabama girl, and she's an Alabama Roll Tide girl, which is the best kind of girls and guys. Not none of them War Eagle people. And so we got to talking there, and she wanted to know about, she said, yeah, I've seen you in here. Now, what do you do? I said, well, she's asked the right question again. So I just jumped in there and I began to tell her what I'm teaching on, what I'm preaching on about the old and the new and about. And I said, you know what? I got 5 points. And one of those is, the very first one is, you can't keep looking back. She says, oh, you're talking to me now. I said, whoo. I said, let's get over here in the corner and let everybody just keep passing through. And I said, my little wife's over yonder, but she'll sit down probably and wait for me. And man, I just got to preaching to her. And she said, now, where's your church? What do you mean your church? I said, well, it's a prayer school, but it's really kind of like church on Friday nights. We have a major meal. We don't feed any kind of hot dogs and bologna sandwiches. It's all good stuff. And I said, then I get to preach. I walk 90 feet. She says, oh my goodness, that is just great. And then she got to telling me about how things she was doing and how she didn't want to just settle down in life and get to a place not doing anything. I said, oh, you're just preaching it to me. Don't look back. Yeah. If you're not careful, you'll think about all the missed opportunities. You'll start saying, I wish I'd have done this back when I was 35 years old. I wish I'd have done this when I was 21. I wish I'd have saved this much money. Forget about it. You ain't going back to do it. Now is the time to do it. Moses is dead. He is dead. We have a danger of looking back and feeling remorse. I wish that I'd have done different. I wish that I'd have done better. I wish that I'd have lived without regrets. I wish that I wouldn't have did this. I wish that I had a better clean break. And if you're not careful, you will constantly be. And as I told Cheryl, I said, Cheryl, the windshield is much bigger than the rearview mirror. Wow. We're the ones that's got to make the choice of which one we're going to constantly be looking out of. If we're constantly driving in the rearview mirror, we're going to forget all the stuff that's in front of us. And it's going to be like that commercial that guy does. You know why he's tailgating him? He said, well, I'm going to tailgating him. He's going to run into a tailgate in front of him. And the sad thing, his name's Robert. And just got to keep looking in front of you. Blessings. Promised land. But if you're constantly looking back, wishing I'd have done this, wishing I would have said this, wishing I'd have saved here, wishing I would have, you know what? You're going to wish your life away. Don't wish you're back in the wilderness. That's what they kept saying. Wish we'd have had some of them melons. Wish we'd have had some of them onions. Wish we'd have had some of them leeks. I'm telling you, I could not have pastored them a week, Ken. I'd have shot every one of them probably. I couldn't have done it. I just couldn't. I mean to tell you, I could not have pastored those people. They were constantly murmuring, constantly complaining. I mean, there was an earthquake come one time to Core, and how many thousands and thousands of them was buried in an earthquake? No, we're not in the wilderness. Look to somebody and say, we are not in the wilderness anymore. We are living in the promised land. We're living in a new covenant, a new day, a new age, a new time. God is for us, and the major blessings are ahead of us. Am I spitting on y'all yet? Amen. Number one, don't keep looking back. Do I wish that I would have saved more money? Well, yeah. Do I wish that I would have opened up an IRA? Yeah. Do I wish? No, I wish. Yeah, but a 401, they didn't even know what a 401. They thought that was Revelation 401. They didn't even know what 401s were with the people I was preaching for. You never talked about retirement. They didn't even want you to live in a house, on your own house. I mean, to tell you, we traveled. There was no other evangelist except for one had his own house. And I said, we're going to have us our own house. We're going to have our own place. I mean, they just want you to go from pity to poor and starve you to death and not take care of you. I got friends right now. They will have to preach. I mean, and I'm going to do that myself. I'm going to preach till I breathe my last breath. But they have to, because they have to make a living. They have no other skills. There's nothing else they know how to do. And they'll drag a trailer till there's nothing else to drag. And I feel for people. I've got a friend of mine that just retired. That's probably the word maybe there, but maybe retired from the church that they were in. It's not here. It's a long way away. And I see it on Facebook. I can hear the words. They wasn't expecting this. And I can read it on their post. I can see it on their face. And the wife looks like she's aged 25 years. They wasn't anticipating. I said, God, there'll be a day that, Lord, I'm praying that I get blessed in such a way out of this world. I think I may just drive and take them maybe $1,000 or $2,000 check and just say, hey, man, I remember when I was a punk kid preacher. You blessed me. I just want to bless you back. I ain't looking back. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back. Moses is dead. He ain't going to be a leader anymore. But he's a good leader. He spoke to the rock and we got our water. He called the quail in. We had to eat. Our clothes never wore out. Our shoes, yeah. But it don't matter. You were still in the wilderness, folks. It wasn't as good as you cracked up for it to be. But where we're headed, I'm telling you, I keep telling my little wife, I said, we ain't seen nothing. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't even been no places yet. You know what I know what we was watching last night. She turned on a video about cruise ships. I said, well, just turn on Madlock or something when I come up. She said, I got a surprise. And she turned on cruise ships. I said, I like your thinking. Madlock, keep you looking back. You still wanting to be Andy and Opie and Barney and Aunt B and Mayberry. Bless your little whining heart. We ain't going back to Mayberry. We going to the promised land. We ain't going Dodge to see Festus and Matt anymore. Drank over at Kenny's Longhorn or whatever it was. We got the promised land. We need to act like we're promised land people. You get half mad and anointed, you can do something tonight. We act too much like we're in the wilderness. We're like a deer in its headlights. We don't know where we're going, don't know where we've been, don't know what's happening. I want to tell you one thing. I have determined I'm not going to be stupid anymore because you can't fix it. Look to someone right now and say, you know what? You just can't fix stupid. Be honest with me tonight. Be honest with me tonight. I'm the priest. Confess tonight, okay? Have you had an opportunity to look back since the first of the year? Yeah. Did we make the right move? Was this the right decision? You think we done right on that? You think this is what we should have done? Constantly hounding us, drawing us back. Come back over here. No. I got promised land eyes. I'm headed somewheres. I envision holding my wife's hand, looking at the Eiffel Tower, wherever it is. Hey, I got good news. I took a history test. I didn't tell my wife that. I shot it to my kids. I took a history test. It'd been 48 years since I took one. You got quiet because you ain't took one in how long? You know the reason you ain't going to take one? You got to flunk it, like Ruth said. I done took me one today. It popped up and said, take this history test and test your IQ. And if you get this many, you're going to have an IQ of 140. I said, well, I'm going to go for it. And I just sit there and answered the questions. And I got a little hurried and answered two or three that I knew the answer. And I just was in a hurry to, like, you know, some things never change. when I got, and I kept answering, they kept feeding me more, and they kept answering, they kept feeding me more, and I kept feeling good about it. And I mean, I kept answering. It got down to the end of it and said, "You want to know your score?" I said, "Yeah, dummy, I ain't been sitting here for 20 minutes taking this test." And I pushed that button, and it came out. It wasn't 100, but it was 89, and it said, "You know all you need to know about history. You are a history PhD person." I said, I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my kids, and I said, "You ain't got nothing on your daddy. 64 years old in March, and 48 years since I took a history test, and I'm a history PhD. I ain't looking back. Don't want to go back." Come on, you know, JC, I know you had a Lincoln mustache and a whisker and a beard when you was in the ninth grade, but son, you don't want to go back there. I can tell you, you don't want to go back there. Don't look back. Quit talking about how it used to be. Church is not like it used to be. Preaching ain't like it used to be. Singing ain't like it used to be. Nothing. There ain't nothing hardly like it used to be. I don't want it to be like it used to be, because if I get used to the used to be's, I never know what the real be's are. Used to be, that's a whole flock of them today. They're not flocks, swarms, okay? I know what I'm talking about. Used to be like this, used to be like that. That blonde over there, we ain't living like that. I went out yesterday. What was it? What did I buy yesterday? Oh, I bought a whole thing, a brand new 729. You love this. Tops, a 1989 baseball card, still in the whole thing right there for $6. I got up there and I said, she said, "Do you love baseball cards?" I said, "Probably not, but somewhere's down the road, I'm going to have me a grandson, and he's going to love this bait." I said, "Matter of fact, he ain't only got the baseball cards. I done bought him 2 BB guns." I mean, they were on the floor by the time I got through with them. Why? Because I'm living in the future, my friend. I'm headed to the promised land. I ain't looking back. Moses is dead. He ain't the leader anymore. He ain't going to lead us anymore and get quail or get water. Not looking back. And the Bible teaches us this. He tells us in the book of Hebrews, this was not in my notes, in the book of Hebrews, he said, you know, from the laying on of hands, he said, don't do that. You done had it one time. Don't keep looking back from the laying on of hands and what happened back then. You got to start looking forward. I love what Paul said. This is not in my notes. Paul said, "I press forward, forward, forward." You know, when I park, Paula tells you, she'll validate this. When I pull into a parking lot, I pull in a parking lot that I don't have to go in reverse to get out of it. I don't want to reverse. Nothing going backwards here. I want to pull out and I park it where I'm heading out to. If it's to my house, I'm already pointing that way. You say, "Robert, you're crazy." I am. I'm just nuts. But I figured a long time ago, the ones that wasn't is the ones I didn't want to hang around with. They were just plumb boring. I want to hang around with some crazy people. Anybody with me? Anybody want to go on this trip with me?
We're all here.
They're all here, but I don't know if they're with me. I know they're all here, but I don't know if they're with me. It'd be like Danny C. He philosophical, and he was gracing gracefully at lunch one day, and he said, "Robert, what's your greatest gift?" I said, "Oh my." Let me turn this around. What do you think? He said, "Your greatest gift. I mean, your greatest gift, man, is you walk in their room, they'll follow you out. I mean, you got that. You just set the whole standard. They'll go with you, man. They'll walk off the cliff." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But what's my greatest weakness?" He said, "My God, you walk in the room, they scare you. They're scared to death that you're going to want them to walk off the cliff with you. That's my greatest weakness. I want to be excited about the promised land. I'm looking forward. I don't want to start getting this and that and saying, well, we're getting old, you know. I don't think I'm going to do this. I don't feel like doing this." No, we went and worked out this morning. I mean, I get on the treadmill and boy, I mean, I punch her up to 5. You know, anybody know what a treadmill is? I put her up to 5. Man, punch her. I don't start on 1. I just go ahead and go for the throat and pop punch her to 5 and put her to 3.6 or 3.8. I did try to get on 4.4, which is 4 miles an hour at 5, you know, at the 5. And I mean, by the time I shouldn't have done it because it jerked me like this. And the 80-year-old woman said, "You need a hand?" I said, "I am fine. Don't need your hand. Don't need to help me. I know what I'm doing." I just shot her back down a little bit. Yeah. Excited. I look at them people there. I mean, there are some women at that. They got to be 90 years old. I mean, the skin is hanging this far down off the bone. And I'm talking, they're getting on. But they out there working out. Working out, working out, working out. I said, "You know what, buddy, let me tell you, I'm on their team right there." We can't go forward if we're constantly talking about what's behind us. Mm-hmm. Give you a case in point. God sent destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. What did he tell them? Don't look back. We have an incredible tendency as humans to constantly be looking back. Sure wish I could do that again. Sure wish I could have that much fun again. And it was just more than Lot's wife could take. She had lived there. She had played there with angels pulling them out by their hands. Angels working with their hearts and their hands to get them out of there. Holding the hand of an angel, she turned back. And she turned to a pillar of salt. That is not what I want my testimony to be. He died trying. He died climbing. Oh, yes. Lived exciting lives. Great times. This is why I want to preach this to all of us. We need this. Now, you got four more major points that we're going to get into the next little while. And we pray the snow stays off because we need to stay with this next Friday night.
Amen.
Because I'll go ahead and get, I'll tell you what the second point is. You ready? It's right here. My servant is dead, now therefore arise and go over. We'll talk about this next week, the danger of sitting still. The danger of sitting still. Danger of sitting still. It's good stuff tonight, isn't it? We need to hear it. We need to hear this. All of us, I told you I was preaching to myself, we need to hear this. I am thankful I've got an incredible, awesome wife that wants to keep me young. I'm thankful for that. Let's go exercise. Let's not eat this today. Let's eat this today. You know, I'm thankful for that. Yeah, she wants me to dress young, look young, eat young, drive young. Whew! Won't go any further. Young, young. Amen. Look to somebody right now and say, "Isn't it so great to be young?" I know this doesn't excite everybody in this room, and I don't care. I'm not here to excite everybody. I'm here for the ones that wants to get and hook their wagon to the star that I'm hooking mine to. You're going to go a ride for your life if you hang around these two. Yes. They'll never be a boring moment. I can go ahead and tell you. We can have some times together. We can have times together. Moments. Awesome. I dream of all of us going on a cruise to Alaska and watching whales dive in and out. Yeah. Going to Paris and eating some snails. Loading up on a bus and going to Yosemite and Pike's Place, Pike's Market in Seattle. Drinks in Pike's Place. Amen. You say, "Robert, you're crazy." You better know it. I've been nuts since I got saved. I found out a long time ago. I'd seen what my grandma and what she looked like. And my great-grandma said, "God, I know they're saved, but I don't want none of what they got. Because they ain't happy. They don't look happy. They don't dress happy. They don't act happy. They ain't happy at all." I am thankful. I am happy tonight. Anybody else happy in this place? Praise God. Moses is dead. Now, we're not deifying and glorifying old Moses, but I'm thankful that, you know, he ran his course and he got to look into the promised land, and we'll get to see him one day and ask him all about it. But boy, Joshua's going to be my guy. Oh my goodness, there's so much I want to talk about. I'm telling you, I will say this and I will quit, honestly. I thought I had 44 more seconds. He's done renewed my minutes. It's like the phone my mama's got. You know, she wakes every month for her minutes to be renewed, you know. I'm on a roll tonight. Been too long. Moses, you know, Joshua had already been in the promised land.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
40 years ago. Uh-huh. You ain't keeping him out. He said, I done seen it, boys. I've seen it. That's my living over there. That's how I want to live. I like milk and honey. I don't care anything but melons and cucumbers. I like milk and honey. Milk and honey, milk and money. It don't matter to me. I like both of them. He had already been there. He'd already spied it out. He'd already brought back a good report. And he had to put up 40 years of murmuring. And God gave him a chance to relive a memory 40 years later. Isn't that great? Praise God. Well, somebody said amen tonight. Amen.